It's not that funny. Yes, Christ, Christ. I never understand why, when you're going over mountains, why they explain to you what the procedure is with the life rafts and things. That bit always sort of confuses me. Good evening, everybody. Sorry we're late, but we were late for the meeting that we were all going to be at, so maybe it's not quite as bad as it might have been. Emergency evacuation procedure. There's nobody in the room that's new, so that's superfluous. Apologies for absence. Oh, you're having the same trouble as I am, but... So, Councillor Brackstone, Oxley and Cousins. I will do this for the evening to keep repeating whatever you've said.
Mine's working.
Swap with John. Item 3, minutes of the meeting held on the 24th of October and the 4th of November. Can I move the 24th of October first? Seconded. Thank you. Can we vote on that one, please? Are you alive now?
That's unanimous.
Thank you. Now, the minutes of November the 4th, and I'm looking at this through my loose leaf bundle. Thank you, John. It says here, and unfortunately inaccurately, so I would like to amend it, and I think I'm going to risk doing it for Jim as well. It says, Councillor Clark and Bailey declared a personal non-pecuniary but not prejudicial interest in as visitors to Moulton Livestock Market. Now, I don't know what Jim does, but I do sell cattle there. But as I pointed out last time round, but I pointed out in the main meeting, I'm not sure whether this was in the exempt piece or not, but I would like the wording altered to point out that although I do business there, I would probably be better off in pecuniary terms if I took it to Thirsk or York, where the prices tend to be slightly higher than they are at Moulton. And I can't be taking him to this market because it doesn't exist yet. So I think that's enough said for everybody to be aware of what I have. And by the time the market gets built, I shall either be... retired, not in the beef industry, or the third option I'm not even contemplating, but that depends how long it takes. On that, with that amendment, and I will allow Jim to come back to amend it if he wants to, because I don't think he said what he said here, but I don't want to quote Jim at this point. So on that basis, I move it with that amendment.
Thank you, Chairman. Could I belatedly have my apologies added, please? I thought I'd sent them, but obviously they didn't reach.
Yes, because you couldn't attend, could you? That was...
nobody forget completely about it, and you've not put it in your
diary. Lovely. Yeah, we can add that to... With those two amendments, can we... I thought this was the one that you had voted on at P&R. And I thought you voted on the livestock market at P&R.
I worked on it at P&R.
But you were at the P&R, so you couldn't... You weren't allowed...
I was at P&R, but I didn't come to the other scrutiny part. So I thought I'd sent an apology for the overview of scrutiny, but obviously it didn't come through.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so but your apology is not because you've forgotten about it. Your apology is because you couldn't take part because you've been in the PNR meeting.
Yeah. I should have apologised.
Yeah. Yeah. Lovely. With that amendment, can we vote on that, please? Or with those two amendments?
That's unanimous.
Thank you. Item six, Chair's announcement. I don't think I have any announcements. If we come up with something between now and the close of play, I'll make an announcement at that point and we can slot it in appropriately. Item 7, Standard Complaints Overview and Annual Report. Simon?
Thank you, Chair. Every year we bring a report to this committee as the Standards Committee.
Is your microphone on?
Yes, it's illuminated. Every year we bring a report to this committee as the Standards Committee of the Council, setting out the number and nature of complaints we've received under our member code of conduct as a district council and also under the codes of conduct of the constituent parish and town councils within Rydell District. Since the last report to the committee, there have been four complaints received, two relating to the district council, both of which were resolved informally, and two relating to a parish council where no further action was taken because it was found there'd been no breach of the code. The report is for the committee to note. I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Any questions, anybody? Just before we do note it, one comment which I've made to Simon, and he said he's going to look into, and that is we've moved on massively because we didn't have any report. Standards went years without anybody knowing what was happening or what might not have been happening. I am suggested, but it's not a formal suggestion at this point, but have asked Simon to look into whether or not it would be possible to inform the chair of the Standards Committee about whatever is happening at any point on the basis that would then enable the chair and or the committee, if necessary, in confidence, in exempt, whatever basis, to know what was going on rather than just hearing rumours around the place, which is what happens at the moment. I'm not formally asking Simon that question now until he's had a chance to look into what the legislation says, what other councils do, etc. But on that basis, thank you, Simon. Very much appreciated. It tells us where we are for the year rather than us not knowing. And on that basis, I move that we note the report and that we thank Simon for his work as a monitoring officer or assistant monitoring officer. Thank you, Simon. We're voting for noting, thanking Simon for his report and noting the report. And we're voting for or against it, depending on what we think of Simon and his Oh, I'm wasting my time now. He's gone. These insults are going to be completely wasted, aren't they?
It is unanimous.
Right. Item 8, Local Government and Social Care Ombudsman Annual Review Letter.
Thank you, Chair. This report is from the Local Government and Social Care Ombudsman Annual Review Letter that the Council gets for 2019, and it's to provide members with an annual update of the review for Rideau Council on complaints. You'll see from the report that it's recommended for noting. The Ombudsman had, from the 1st of April 2018 to 2019, 8 complaints and inquiries, 4 referrals back to the Council that the Ombudsman sent back, 4 referrals, 2 that were closed on the initial inquiries to the Ombudsman, 3 progressed to investigation stage, 2 being upheld, 2 being not upheld, and 1 decision being upheld, but only in a technical aspect of it. So it's just for noting. Thank you.
Has anybody got any questions? Comments?
Only one, Chairman. Planning never gets away without complaints on a monthly basis. It's the nature of the beast. I've looked through that report, and the other one is street scene. Again, it never escapes some sort of complaint from somebody at some point, including myself, on a previous occasion.
Can I suggest, John, that rather than raising complaints, that you ought to have a word with your district councillor and see if it can be sorted out at that level?
I did better than that, Chairman. I went straight to the top and spoke with the director of the service personally, privately, and confidentially.
Pulling
the matter was resolved fully to my satisfaction.
Lovely. Thank you, everybody. Can I move then that we note the annual review of the Care Ombudsman letter for 2019? Thank you, John. You're getting the hang of me.
That's unanimous.
Now, I'm now looking to John for assistance with what page this next one on this. Pardon? 33, thank you. Did Will leave me with this job before he went, do you think? Do you think this is... While he's sitting, sunning himself, thinking, smiling to himself on the Thursday evening, thinking he can struggle with that pile of loose paper. Customer complaints, item 9, customer complaints and compliment, quarter 2, 19-20. Margaret again.
Thank you, Chair. This is just to provide members with the overview of the customer complaints and compliments for July to September. And it's just the recommendation is to note the report on the complaints and compliments received for the last quarter of the cycle. You'll see from the report that there was 19 complaints received in the last quarter, 14 being made by the 5-day response. And the ones that didn't manage to do it were planning, regulated services and street scene, but normally because they're normally more complicated. But there is an improvement in the last quarter, but it is for noting.
Any comments, questions, John?
The planning and regulatory complaints, what particular part of our council was this referring to? Are responsible for?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
Which part of our council in the regulatory planning Was this attributed to, is it us or is it county?
It would likely be our side of it that it would have been that there was a late response, but we have been looking at the complaints, as I said to the last committee, that 5 days turnaround for planning complaints is actually really quite unrealistic considering the technicalities and the technical details that are normally involved in that. So we have now been starting to look at, as part of the review, if we need more time actually telling customers at the very beginning that we actually do need time to investigate the complaints. So that's why I'm highlighting that it is planning, because we had recognised that 5 days, so we have 5 working days. However, if we get a complaint in at 5 to 5,
yeah,
we have to still count that as a working day. So they actually planning sometimes only have 4 days. Which is just unrealistic. So we have now had that conversation with planning that if we think it's, once they've had an initial look at it, if they think they need more time, we will go back to the complainant and the customer and ask, could we have more time, because we want to give a fuller response. Either that, or it gets moved up to stage 2 complaint for investigation.
That would seem reasonable, Chairman. If we go back to the complainant and say it's coming very late in our cycle and explain what our cycle of operation usually is, and give them that explanation, because we, or well, I know it anyway. I don't know if anybody else in the room does, but give ourselves a little bit of breathing space, and if necessary, we need to ask for even a guesstimate of how long it's going to take, and inform that complainant of that. We can have this resolved in, if it's normally 5 working days, but it's going to take a week, then say it's going to take us over a week to do this. I think if we're upfront and honest with a complainant in the first instance, that helps in the scheme of things. Depending on what the complaint is, as to how well it can be resolved. But being upfront and honest on first place is always a good start, in my opinion, Chairman.
I'm a little confused as to what the 5 days means. Because if it comes in at 5 o'clock on a Friday, then you've got from 10:30 on the Friday till 5 o'clock that you wouldn't, in the next week, that you wouldn't have had if it had come in at 10:30 of that morning. And maybe the wording needs to be changed a little to say either 5 complete days, which is a bit of a stretch, because that means you've still got nearly 6 days for the one that comes in at 9 o'clock, and 5 days and 5 minutes for the one that comes in at 5 to 5 on the Friday. But I think I'm happy to leave it, but I think then there's probably a bit of wording that needs looking into there, because most organisations say 5 or a complete week or 5 complete working days, rather than running around as to whether it came in at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock. In other words, you log the ones that are in at the end of the day, and then you've got 5 complete days left in front of you, so it doesn't then matter what time of day it came in.
I think as part of the review, what we've also discovered is that we have for complaints, sometimes people are saying it's a complaint when it's actually a first initial service request as well. So it might be that they're just actually asking for it. So there are training that we're going to have to do with staff, so they're really fully aware of what we mean by a complaint, what's a service inquiry, and actually how long, and having, you're quite right, having that communication with the person that's complained about actually some of the processes, and being realistic about if we're wanting to give a full response, what does that actually mean? And we've also discovered that on the website we have feedback. So sometimes some people are responding through feedback with complaints. And what we were saying is actually maybe we need to have an email that actually says complaints. So there is a difference between what somebody's just feeding back and what somebody's complaining about. So these are all the stuff that I'm picking up in the review, Councillor, that I will bring back to the
committee. You have to be careful that you don't lose the fact that we welcome complaints. Complaints are good for an organisation, they're good for the public, they're good for everybody, because it means you're doing your best to look after it, rather than saying, well, that's not a complaint because they didn't put it on Form 72B or whatever. I have got two questions for you. One is in relation to, is he dropping yet another sheet? Yes, hedge cutting in Pickering East. We've now got we're going to fit that onto the rotor, if I understand it correctly. I'm just looking to see where it is. Anybody else spot?
Page 40.
Do we have a maintenance schedule, and what is it? Or is that unfair as a question?
I would think that we do have a maintenance schedule. I would have to go back to Becky Bennett's team to actually ask what that is and when, what the schedule is for that.
Could we be informed as to what it is?
Yeah.
Because I don't know about this local authority, but most local authorities are obsessed with hedge cutting and verge cutting and whatever, and all verges and hedges should be left alone as much as possible because you're destroying the food for the winter for owls and so on and so forth. So I think it might just be obtaining something else. Now, to a much more important point, vastly more important, because it covers Cropton Ward, and we're a very average, normal breed in Cropton, but we appear to want proof of life. Now, I don't know, page 38, two-thirds of the way down, three-quarters of the way down. Now, there are some of us are getting on in Cropton, but to be proved that we're still alive seems to be a little bit severe. And it was an initial complaint, and an explanation was given. And I went, OK, fair enough, fine, whatever else. So can we have a little bit more of an explanation? And
yep, I can answer that. This is actually to do with Brexit.
Oh, I wish I hadn't asked. Oh, no, it's my fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is to do with Brexit. If people are living out of the country and they have to, they have to actually prove that they are alive. So they actually have to have a proof of life. So if they're living somewhere else, they need to have where they're living to basically sign a legal document just to say that they are alive. Yes, so that's why it is proof of life.
No, will that pass me again? How does somebody prove that they are alive? Let me give you three examples. Members of the House of Lords, people who are dead, or people who are in a vegetative state. How does somebody in a vegetative state prove that they are alive, but they are very alive? How does somebody who is dead prove they're dead or alive? I'm lost. I'm completely lost. I'm missing something. I must be.
My understanding that as public servants, we are allowed to check people's details, so to check their passports or birth certificate, and if they present with the papers and with all the documentation, then somebody from legal services or somebody from the council can actually sign their paperwork to say that that's proof that they are alive.
So if I bring in my dead... Sorry,
no, but they have to come... They basically have to come to get it signed as proof of life. So they have to actually come back to the country to get it signed.
Are we talking about residents that are over in a different country for a short time?
Yeah, expatriates, is my understanding. Is that what it is? But it can be for many other things that people just need it for documentation. Uh-huh. Or police, is my understanding as well.
Not proof of identity.
So is it just
It's proof of life.
It's just certifying documents, that's what it is, and it's something that we used to do, but seemingly a decision was made before that, actually, that our legal services didn't have the capacity to be able to do it. So that's why the complaint came in, because we no longer do it. So that was the reason the complaint came in. Yeah, that's why the complaint came in.
I completely, completely, and bewildering to me as to what you would be doing. It's not proof of identity.
No, it's called proof of life. It's called proof of life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Proof of reaction to an earth-based information.
Outside of this meeting, I'm fascinated, but I think we've spent enough time on it now. I thought I'd come across most things, but that's it. Right. Now, what have we got now? We note the report on complaints and compliments received during quarter two of the reporting cycle. I will move. If I'm still alive. No, now. I've done that. Do you want me to do it again?
That's unanimous.
In the Ombudsman report, there was something where there was no complaints and none were carried out, and he put it down as 0% success, and it should have been 100% or infinite or whatever. Now what page are we on, John? Come on, 49. I need your help with these things. Ah, Deputy Chief Executive Performance Report. Tony.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, this is the latest in the suite of performance indicators for quarter two of this year. That's between July and September of 2019. Of the 22 corporate performance indicators, 16 indicators are showing green, 5 are amber, and 1 status of being red. There are 2 of the amber indicators which are repeat. That's specifically for processing of planning applications and customer complaints resolved within 5 working days, some of which Margaret has already touched on. The new indicator, which is currently showing red, is for prevention of homelessness through advice and proactive intervention. Under 6.7 and 6.8 of the report, there's a slightly elaborated explanation, as to the 2 amber indicators. And under 6.9 is an expanded response to the red indicator. Appendix 1 gives the details of all 22 indicators as referred to previously, and members are asked to note the report.
Any questions, comments, thoughts? John?
No. Just a comment, Chairman. It's not out of line to previous reports in this area. It doesn't seem to be of huge concern to me particularly. I would be surprised if we get a clean bill at all, ever, really. As you say, that sometimes having a complaint keeps you on your toes, so sometimes they can be useful. The planning one as a query, is that again plans from County Council will be documented later again?
No, it isn't.
A new area, great. That is an improvement, Chairman.
No, it specifically says it's not.
I've mentioned it to Tony before the meeting, and this is not a formal request, but I think we'll find that council's policy says when there is a red, we won't need an officer's report, and that means an officer with. Because I'm fortunate, having been on, being on the housing forum, I've heard Kim explaining that as to what rules have changed and so on. And I think it would be useful if the committee had had that. But, you know, it's gone. If it's still red next quarter,
yes.
Can we, or even amber, could we please have that? And the same applies, and I don't know whether the rules are written down, but if it's three ambers in a row, then we ought to have a report with an officer with it. Because once we know what's happening with complaints, which is, you know, and where it's going wrong and continuing to go wrong, then there's not a surprise to any of us. But what was happening before was you'd have amber, quarter after quarter, and nothing happened. And it said what it says here. It is recommended that members note the progress report. Now, if you've got something that's housing and red, I don't want to just note it. So we may not in a minute or two, because it has the danger that members are not doing their job and scrutinising it. We then move on to one or two questions that I've got, and I apologise to this, and I'm sure after the meeting we can let you all have a copy. But in one of my Cropton trying to prove that whether I was alive or not moments, I've raised some of the following questions, some of which we've had before. It says food establishments broadly compliant with food hygiene law. And I wondered, Tony, if you could give us some explanation, but we will get the full wording if you just want to do it in a few words.
Yes, I mean, broadly speaking, the reason for this is that there's the performance indicator is defined as a percentage of food establishments within an area that comply with food laws. And there are three elements to that, three aspects to that. There's the aspect of standards of hygiene, the structural standards, and the confidence in management. And each of those is given a numerical... pardon?
Value.
That's the word, numerical value. If we fail to meet any one of those three, then it's deemed to be not broadly compliant. So the phrase broadly compliant is actually a formal phrase. It's not a phrase that we would use in normal language in terms of compliance, but in terms of environmental health, it is an actual legitimate term to use.
A supplementary, just to go with it, isn't in that question. How many environmental health officers have we got working on food establishments? I think your answer might be the same as what mine is. I don't know, and I generally don't know, but I think we ought to know, because I'm nervous of this broadly compliant. Because it means a little bit like, well, if your tyres are up to date, it's not too much of a problem if your lights are defective. But if you've got your lights defective and your tyres, you're in problems. And I just think if something goes wrong, I take what you're saying exactly, and I think that is the accurate definition of it. But I'm just nervous. Yes. And it scores on the doors and all this lot. I'm just nervous. It's fine. Nobody minds when everything's going right. Yep. But when you have something that happens and goes wrong.
I was just saying, Councillor Reppy was saying that we have four environmental health officers, but I'm not sure how many focus on...
No, that's...
So yeah. That's the question. so.
And how many establishments are there, and is it a reasonable workload and? Why is the processing of new claims for council tax support under the universal credit heading not at 35 days? Because I understood that universal credit was more than 35 days, even if you did everything spot on.
Chair, I have a response to this, which is somewhat convoluted, and I don't profess to fully understand it, but I'm more than happy to read the response from the head of the service.
I think that might be worth it, because I've only got this when I came into the meeting, so I can't summarise it either.
I will read it for you, members. The initial new claim made under Universal Credit will be processed by the Department of Works and Pensions and paid within 35 days, as widely referenced in the media. Although it takes 35 days for the customer to receive their first payment, they are able to view their Universal Credit award via their journal after 30 days. At this point, we being the council, are notified of the award and the new council tax support claim is assessed. Following notification of the new claim for universal credit, if a customer's income is too high for council tax support, then the new claims is CTS, council tax support, is cancelled at that point but still monitored. If a customer's income subsequently reduces in their next universal credit assessment period, which makes them eligible for council tax support going forward, this is sent through by the DWP and counts as a new claim for council tax support purposes, as the previous new claim had been cancelled. This is why the average processing time for the performance indicator is down at the current 21-day value. The initial claim will always be 30 to 35 days, but any adjustments to the claim will come through the council from the DWP are dealt with much quicker, bringing down the average time processing time.
And I struggled with it, because I'm not as quick as you all are. The initial claim will always be 30 to 35 days. How can that be done at less than 35 days when the 35 days is their minimum? Jason.
Having worked with you.
Yes, so you are our resident expert.
It's because that's the amount of time the DWP take. In that time, they'll have made a check on their on the person's income. So all the work will have been done.
Yeah.
So whilst at that point they won't be eligible for any extra support like council tax or other things, if then, the way Universal Credit works, their income drops over that month, which happens quite a lot with people with 0 hours contracts, all the work's already been done, and so the time to process a new claim for council tax support is quicker.
No, I understand that. That's not my question. I understand that. We're starting off again, but you've got all the information. It's quicker. I understand that one, right? The initial claim, you're talking about a supplementary second claim. The initial claim will always be 30 to 35 days. The initial claim that's gone through Universal Credit has a Universal Credit minimum of 35 days on it. So how can it be 30 to 35? It's not the second claim. I've got the second claim. That's what it says.
If I may, Chairman, on a subsequent alteration on the information coming through, the work under 35 days is not done again.
No, I don't understand the subsequent one. The subsequent one is... We were told
that it is considered by DWP as a new claim.
Yes, I understand that. That's what Tracy's saying. I understand that. I have no problem with that. It says here, the initial claim, which is the first one, not a rehashed one, the initial claim will always be 30 to 35 days. Council tax report.
Universal
credit. And you
universal credit.
No, the first one's universal credit. And it's 30 days and 35, because 30 days is when you can see it on your journal.
Yeah.
And 35 days is the maximum that it will take. So you should see it after 30 days.
But they told us it was the minimum. You're telling me it's the maximum.
35 days is your maximum, but the person who's claiming should see it 30 days.
Yeah, you can't see. You can't spend money that you can see. But if there's 35 days, you're now saying is the maximum. Because we've had this for 2 years now, because they said it was the maximum, and then we said, so what? How does happen that something go over? That's maximum plus a bit, and they said, no, it's the minimum. And then the government came out and said it is 35 days, and we're back to the same question: is it the maximum? Is it the minimum? And now we've got 30 to 35 days. I don't believe it will always be 30 to 35 days, because if one goes wrong, it'll be 37 days, whatever it is. And if something goes incredibly right, how can it not be 29 days? Then what? Then the 30 days. Then the 30 days. Well, that's fine. So it isn't processed. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, you can all have in more detail with this, but processing of planning applications. When did the vacancies in the team? The vacancies that exist in plan have had an impact on performance. No, sorry. O-level question. Processing and planning, right, is amber. When did the vacancies in the team occur, is the question. The vacancies of the existing planning team have had an impact on the performance. We know that.
But then goes on to say, Chair, that these vacancies have been for planning officers, with one vacancy remaining since the T2020 restructure, and the other vacancy arising in July 2019.
So it isn't a vacancy, the T2020, unless we got rid of planners at T2020. Is it been sitting there unadvertised since then?
I don't believe that's the case, Chair, because I know that certainly in the time that I've been here, they've advertised on at least two occasions to recruit and haven't been able to recruit. And now I'm assuming that it's the one that's left over from the T2020 and the other one, as I say, arising in July. And I know that they've advertised that post and they didn't recruit to that, but I think they've now recruited to one of the posts.
So it's been missing since July, this post. And the other one's been missing for half a lifetime, but we don't know whether it was deliberately reducing the number of posts or it wasn't. Okay. Household waste recycling. Current performance to date shows a recycling rate of 53%. The target is set to achieve a baseline of 43%. Why is this?
Yeah, the reason for that, Chair, is that the 50% is a combination of recycled, dry recyclates, and composting.
Yep.
When the composting was brought in, the garden waste was brought in as part of the overall
recycling.
There was an expectation that there would be a 7% reduction in the amount of recycling, because it's on weight and it depends, and it still fluctuates because it depends on growth, for example. So if you have a particularly wet period of time and there's a lot of growth, then there's potentially more composting and therefore more weight. Other times, if it's drier, then it could be less. So there's always a fluctuation in that. And that's the reason that it was reduced from 50 to 47%. However, it has actually consistently performed above that. And so the combination of the two is actually somewhere in the region of about 53.5% as opposed to 50. So it was reduced because they thought there would be a downturn, particularly in relation to the weight. That hasn't happened. It's actually performed, well, I say performed, the weather has helped it to perform better than anticipated, and therefore the figures are higher. But the figure that we got in the performance report is the figure that was originally agreed for the reduction.
Can I ask you to pass back the following thoughts to go with that? That the annual total recycling, composted and reuse, in other words, the total lot, was in 17-18 through 46%, 46%, 48%. Now, by 2020, we were going to achieve 50.
Yes.
And the government asked us to achieve 50. That is not going to achieve 50 by 2020. And I don't know where you've got quarters where we're beating the 50%, but in actual fact, the one that matters is the annual total. And I think the giveaway bit is the target was set at 49.7 to coincide with the 50% for 2020, which is what the government said and this council committed itself to. But it was lowered to 43% following the introduction of garden waste collections. And some of us pointed out at that point that the introduction of garden waste paying for it was going to reduce our recycling and make it liable that we wouldn't hit the government's target. And it looks as though that may be coming true. And so therefore the question is to return back, please, could we have what is going to be done to ensure that we're over the 50% of recycled, composted and reused by 2020?
What I would say to that, Chair, is that Becky, as part of her service plan for next year and beyond, is looking to have an additional resource, which will be a recycling and waste officer, and that will be focusing on things like campaigns, going into schools, working with young kids, school-aged children, etc., in order to, one, heighten the awareness of what should and shouldn't be recycled and what can and can't be recycled, but also to seek to raise the level of recycling percentages to meet the 50%.
I think that's all admirable, but I don't think it solves the problem that's put here, that it was lowered to 43% following the introduction of garden waste collections. I'm all in favour of having officers, whatever, but I don't think it's school. I could be totally wrong. I don't think school children need educating in terms of climate change and looking after the environment. I think it's probably their parents that need it, and the children are way ahead of it. So rather than going into schools, which is an easy option for this soul, we ought to be looking as to how we're going to increase our recycling, etc. And that's going to be parents. And our neighbours are long gone now, and the chance of them listening to this is less than several noughts and a one. I'm not separating all my stuff out. It can all go in the bin. And I don't care if it won't all go in a big wheelie bin. I'll put three bags alongside there. Now, I offered to help him go through it. I offered everything else. I offered him to get somebody from here to go through it with him. He was determined to produce as much waste as he could. That's where the problem is, not his children.
No, I accept that, Chair, and I wouldn't want to overemphasise the work with young people, because clearly, as you say, they are perhaps more in tune with what needs to be done than sort of their parents.
Oh.
But there will be campaigns and there will be all sorts of activities which will specifically be aimed at increasing the levels of recycling, because we do recognise that we have a target to reach.
I think it's probably us we ought to be looking at, because we're recycling less than we were without...
Sorry, just me. As far as the young people, we have recycle bins in our building and ordinary general waste bins, and I'm afraid the kids are atrocious at putting whatever they want in any bin.
Yeah.
And we pay, you know, extra for the recycling, and you know, we could put them all in one.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I personally think going into schools is
a
good idea, because you get trying to get through to them to, you know, think which bin before you just throw them in.
That's interesting, and I think well worth putting on board. Yeah. Maybe you have different children from the ones I know. John?
Yeah, plastics and what plastics can be recycled and what can't be are a headache for lots and lots and lots of people.
Yes.
And some plastics can be recycled and are recyclable, and some aren't. And it's a minefield in a sense as to what to do and how to do it. So we need to be issuing clear advice and guidance to Joe Public. I've suggested before on the recycled containers that we have that a pictorial system needs to be stuck on the lid or the side of the container, however big and whatever colour that container is, as to what items can be put in it and that are able to be recycled on the container itself. It simplifies things hugely. It's something I have experience of out in France, where that's exactly what they do. They treat you as a two-year-old who doesn't know any better, and it works, because people, it's not foolproof, but it's idiot-proof to a point.
I think we have a problem as a council, and unless something's changed and I've missed it, one of the things, and it doesn't fit into the weight statistics because it's plastic, and therefore, you know, you can collect plastic or not collect, and it doesn't make any difference to the percentage of recycling. But we have had for years a policy of recycling anything that was plastic and bottle-shaped. Well, plastics don't work by bottle shapes. Plastics work by what kind of plastic it is. And some bottles are highly recyclable, and some bottles are highly non-recyclable. But they're all bottle-shaped. And we have, for years, been happily pushing those all into the same bin. And that's an area we ought to be doing work, rather, in my opinion, rather than... saying to people, put bottles in there, because you can put a diagram on it, it's still got to be a diagram of a bottle. Now, you may be able to do it, and the manufacturers are at fault here, the type of plastic should say on them, loud and clear, what type of plastic it is. And then you can go into what you're saying, if it's a PTF1, you then put, and it's clear on the bottle it's a PTF1, you can then put PTF1 in big letters for two-year-olds, on the side. But if you don't have it, if you don't know what's on the bottle and that's in tiny print or none at all, how do you know?
Standard bottle of Coke, 2-litre bottle, has 4 different plastics in it.
Exactly, John. That's, yeah.
And the lids are different plastic as well. The sides are a different plastic and the top and bottoms are different plastics.
So maybe we should be, you know, screaming at government and or whatever else. We've then got the question, which I think is fairly self-explanatory, homeless preventions, which we've covered earlier, and we'll ask him to come to a future meeting, unless it flips out again, in which case we'll put it into the memory banks. We've got standard searches next. Is NYCC the problem? I don't know where the question came from, but it came in mirrored from you, John, as well. And
Chair, if I may, I've actually... That was just saying Karen isn't here. I've now got Karen's response.
Oh, so this, hot off the press, is inaccurate.
That wasn't hot off the press, but... this is.
Yeah, quite. Keep the councillors out of the real information. Thank you, Tony.
Just arrived. in answer to the question, Chair, which was around searches within 10 days, and it was showing as amber. Basically, the reason being for that is that there were two. There was one in each of the 2 months where the turnaround time was delayed because they had to get additional information. One was from Highways and one was from the Conservation Officer. And those two queries took it beyond the 10 days. They're saying that the in reply to your question earlier, Councillor Roper, where you asked about NYCC, and it says NYCC responses are at the moment within 5 days, and so it's causing us no problems. The problem on these occasions was simply that we had to seek additional information, and that took it beyond the 10 days. That's okay.
Yes, I think that brings that one, and I've received my own copy of the...
Oh, you have?
Oh, yes, quite. I think that brings that up to date. Percentage of council tax collected. Why does it matter if residents switch from 10 payments to 12 monthly payments? And because the reason for asking that question was, yes, if you sat there with a ledger clerk all sat there totting it all up every day, it becomes messy. But if you know how many people are paying 10 lots and how many people are paying 12 lots and how many people are paying annually, you should be able to predict pretty closely as you go through how much money you should have got. Can we have a...
Yes. Sorry, Chair.
No, I'm sorry. I'm boring myself. There's no need for you.
I would never say that.
No, I didn't need you to.
Not out loud, no,
quite. Not on the microphone.
Yeah. In response to that, Chair, the response is that the option to pay by 12 monthly instalments was introduced in April 2012, and prior to that, council tax was paid over a 10-month instalment period. So the effect of paying over 12 instalments as opposed to 10 means taxpayers are spreading their liability over the full year as opposed to the first 10 months of the year. Mm-hmm. And having the effect of lesser collection rates between April and January, but then catching up by March.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
So why, when we set off at the beginning of the year, we have an estimate of what we think we will get through from the tenths and from the ones who pay completely. We don't assume that everybody is going to pay in the first month, all of it. Because otherwise we would be red from every quarter through until March, when suddenly we'd go green, and we might go amber in December. Because we've fed into this system the 10 monthly chunks, because these people are paying 10 monthly chunks and therefore we don't expect to get their money until each monthly chunk comes in. Why are we not doing that for those that are paying it in 12ths? because if we do it for all three, annual, tenths and twelfths, it will give us an accurate picture, and it won't suddenly find ourselves catching up from behind.
It's an explanation,
if you do it wrongly, how it will come out. I'm happy with that. Nothing wrong with the maths. But it's the computer logic, isn't it? It's GIGO. Garbage in, garbage out. And if you're not putting in the twelfths and you're expecting to get tenths, you will fall behind. And then slowly you're falling behind, you'll get less and less and less, and then we'll go, as it says here, with quite an excitement again, catching up by March. Well, we shouldn't be catching up by March. We should know exactly where we are all the time as each month goes through. Could you possibly feed that little bit of maths back to from whence? But they don't even need to do that. If you've got a program and somebody's paying in tenths and want to move to twelfths, then you just switch them over from that field, that part of the Venn diagram, into that part of the Venn diagram. Move them across the spreadsheet or whatever system's happening. In other words, in simple terms, if you have two people paying and they're both paying annually, you would expect to get 100% in April.
Would it help if a report, if Alan actually produced a report and actually came to the
committee? It would, but I'm concerned that he's going to produce a report. But I don't see anything wrong with this at first glance. At first glance, I think it's wrong because the system's wrong. I could be wrong.
Yeah, no,
right. But if the system is wrong, then it is a waste of his time coming. Somebody needs to look at the system. If the system is right, then, you know. Yeah, and the life in Cropton may or may not be existing. But if you've got two people paying £1,000 each, you get £2,000 in, it is 100% done for the year. If you've got one paying £1,000 and the other paying 10 lots of 100, if you say we expect to get 1,000, 2,000 in at the beginning, you'll be way off down the track before the other one's caught up. And if you have people paying at £86.67 each month for the 12 months, they won't even be keeping up with the ones that are paying £100 until you get right to the end. And that's what he's saying. And I'm saying, with anything with a 1970s calculator, that should be avoidable. And with the 2000 and what year are we in now? No, you don't have to. Right? Computer, it should just be tapping. And it's happened nationally. There's bound to be somebody's done a program for it. I'm sorry if that's been a little lengthier than we would have liked, but if you're going to have performance figures, it is vital that those performance figures are looked at, poked, prodded, and hopefully understood. Anybody any more to add? But we'll. Can you see that those go out, or somebody sees to everybody gets a copy? Everybody gets a copy of it. Right, where had I got to now before I... You'd be able to tell me the page number, John. Have we moved what we need? No, we haven't. What have we got to do at this point? Somebody help me. Ah, yes. Can we, one, note the report, and two, can you pick up the questions from the report, and can they be minuted, please? Not in a negative manner, as some of my questions may have been, but in a, it was looked at rather than John leapt up and down and said, this is ridiculous. And that the officers, don't hang it on anybody, the officers will be coming back with further detail. So the three strands, the noting it, the questioning, and that officers will be coming back with further details, and with the questioning, the answers put in there as well. Does that come across too negative to any, for anybody? I'm looking in your two directions. No. Okay. Fine. I move that. Thank you, John. Now watch me. I'm doing it. Not my fault. The machines. We shouldn't have spent 50,000. We should have bought the deer stuff. You know.
That's unanimous.
Right. I'll never put this lot back together again. Agenda item 11 I've got now. Yeah, decisions from other committees. The chair hasn't gone completely to sleep, but he may be rapidly heading in that way. But I've seen that somewhere. Yes, here we are. Page one on my copy. No, but it does, what number does that say?
It's the...
Yeah. You got it? I'm glad you asked her. Page one, I was just perfect after this loss. And was I?
I don't know. I was sorry.
I mean, being awake is possible. Being alive is pushing it, as far as I can see. Is there anything? Who was at P&R observing it? I was, but was anybody? Were you there, John? Yes. Yeah, you were there. Yeah. David Cousins was there. I can't remember anything that I felt that was... other than the statement, and it really... It depends on what you think, John, because it's only you and I can sensibly comment if you've been there. I was a little surprised that they totally ignored our call-in on... environment and climate change.
I wasn't surprised, but
I'm being polite. Sorry?
Not particularly, but we can look at it on an issue basis.
Okay. So no, we can note that, and right, we've had performance report. Yes, I'm just looking for that. What page is it?
Page 73.
Have you got what it says? Or does the, doesn't, he don't think it does say anything, does he?
No.
Now, let's just move on. Page 70, how many, John? I do like these. This page is intentionally left blank, right? And the previous page is blank. Now, is that page unintentionally left blank? No? I don't know. I was hoping, but life has got in the way, as it were, that we ought to, at some point in the year, now that the newer people, without it sounds rude, it's not meant to be rude, but the newer people onto here are beginning to get a feel of what it's about and what's happening. I think at some point, and I don't think we'd nail it tonight, but sometime in supposedly January, we ought to have a working party to look at what scrutiny does in relation to its job title and terms of reference and or whatever. Because you three kicked off here going, what's it all about? Right? And after a mere 6 months, are still sitting here saying, what's it all about? I think there's a danger of just going on doing what you've always done and what everybody's always done. And I think it would be interesting to see what people thought we should be doing and what we could do and how we shut the chair up and what we do about... you're not supposed to nod at that. You're supposed to... you're supposed to be completely impartial.
I wonder.
Yeah, I know that. I just think we ought to have a look at what we do, whether we're doing it efficiently, whether we could do more of it, whether we should do less of it, etc. And it might take half an hour, and it might take 2 hours, and it'd be outside of that range. Is it worth doing that? Because that's entirely open. I don't, you know, if you all think we shouldn't be doing it, then that's fine. And if you think it's worth doing, we can have a look at it. Careful. You've got to be careful. Okay. Come. Well, it could be. There could be modern words for everything these days. Yeah. Happy with that. Have you two any thoughts? Because I'm always nervous about putting extra work on whatever, because it probably ought to have an officer there. To keep us under some sort of control, or that's a job for Will, isn't it? Well, yes, Will's given me this chaos.
He's not here, so
yes, so we can decide that Will needs to. Yes, exactly. Oh, that's superb. Now then, what have we got? The next meeting will be January, is it? Is it the January the 23rd?
Yes.
Yeah. And what have we got on for there? Review of work plan, audit, internal audit, treasury management, my favourite, and investment strategy. And can I ask for everybody's support, because we've all supported it before, and that is supporting this council to put, I don't know, £500,000, something that would be chunky to a credit union, where we just have it sitting there, picking up 0.5% at the moment, and it could actually do some work out there with probably not much more risk than putting it into, because people have had Banks of Cyprus and have all had a high enough approval ratings to get past local government rules. Where was it? Was it Denmark or Iceland? Iceland, that's right. Where local authorities put money, and I don't know whether they got it all back, but they had a cuckoo of a job working on it. And I think a credit union would be a good place to put some. The committee's discussed it before, but we need to keep pushing at it, because Anton, and if you're listening to this tape, which you won't be, Anton, but if you were, we want to keep pushing for it. So, and it's a political thing with a small p or a big p. I don't know whether you can, because you see you've got the local government rules on where you can invest and where you can't and so on. And credit union might be beyond that, but I would have thought probably not, because they're listed as banks, etc.
You need to do something with
the deposit system. I'm not suggesting.
And you're
Well, it doesn't matter if it gives us the same return or less of a return, because it's so low returned. It doesn't matter if it's slightly less of a return. And that is that for the next meeting. Right. So we... shall I propose then that we consider having a working party to look at the work programme of the scrutiny committee to be held at some convenient point in January/February? And if we're only considering it, we can decide when we get nearer to that whether we want to, or we'll can send an email out saying what do you reckon, etc. Okay, I'll move that.
That's unanimous.
Yes, I was just thinking, there was massive tapping going on alongside me, and I wondered if I was missing something or should have been doing something or... No, not my fault this time. Oh, good. Right, we now come on to the provision of Learn to Swim programme. Can I therefore move exempt that under paragraph 3, etc., I move exempt for this item. Thank you, John. Can we vote on that, please? My suggestion, I mean, A, it's recommended by the officers that it move things. B, we're dealing a bit with the commercial arrangements between this council and our providers of leisure facilities. And it's not fair on them or us for that to be out there. I'm sure that doesn't fit the legal definition of it, but that's why it would be exempt. Is that near enough, anybody? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's unanimous.
And we are now, therefore, hopefully, onto the pink...